Blog Talk Radio.
Emotions. But before we get into that, again,
We're always getting new listeners, and I'd like to share, if we can, your powerful, powerful testimony about what brought you to this holistic health path, because, you know, normally people don't just start off wanting to go into a field. You know, when you're a child, you don't grow up with aspirations of, what do you want to be when I grow up? Oh, I want to grow up and teach people about holistic health. You know, sometimes something there is, in many cases, an event that happens that actually transforms one's life. And in your case, that is what happened. Could you share with our listeners what actually brought you to this holistic health field? And I want the listeners to pay close attention, because this testimony is going to astound you.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to share, how things came about. For me, it was a health crisis, as you could call it. Back in 2007, when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and I was really shocked. But I decided I wanted to try a natural approach and not have surgery and be on medication forever. So I decided to start researching to figure out, exactly what would heal the body. And I came upon, repeatedly, the power of plant-based nutrition and how many people had used it to heal themselves of a number of ailments, including cancer, diabetes, heart disease, all of those. And so I, decided to give that a try and went to a whole foods plant-based diet, which was really, eating foods as close to their natural form as possible. So really kind of getting rid of all the boxed and processed food, all the dairy, animal products or byproducts, and started eating differently, juicing and a lot of other supplementation and things like that. And I was able to cure the cancer about a year later. And so that really changed things for me. So I wanted to really, share that with other people so that they could also really have that benefit of not having to start from scratch like I did to figure out what to do, but kind of give people a blueprint or what I call a roadmap to holistic health.
You know, doctor, let me share just you sound a bit faint, so I don't know if you could just speak up a bit. But
sure.
Okay, that, when you think about the path that you took, and then we look at the allopathic path that so many people take, and there's so much energy expended on that path, I mean, years. What took you approximately a year you went from diagnosing, treating, and getting rid of in a year, in 365 days, 12 months. But there are others who took the allopathic route and may have been diagnosed 20 years ago and are still expending energy dealing with a condition that could have been eliminated. Now, as a result of you eliminating your thyroid cancer, you are able now to go ahead and live life normally, live a life and pursue whatever pursuits that you would have pursued had you never been diagnosed. It just so happened that as a result of being diagnosed, that that changed your life in terms of, with you wanting to help other people. But you could have easily just went on and, gotten into another field of endeavors and, just not even worried or thought about the thyroid cancer again, and so I'm just amazed at the energy that people expend in treating something that, if that same amount of energy was given to it holistically, that it could be eradicated and they can get back to living their normal lives without having to, now alter their whole lifestyle, now going back and forth to the physicians and taking medications that are causing other conditions that they have to now take medications for.
Absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, my thing was to really avoid being in that cycle of dependency on Western medicine and medications that always have those side effects. So that was a big push for me to figure out, you know, how can the body heal itself so I can still be independent and go on with life. Absolutely.
Well, you know, today we're going to be discussing depression. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that might have been diagnosed with a particular condition that, you know, they feel could be, you know, life-threatening, which could very easily cause somebody, this is probably a perfect show for, you know, somebody that has been diagnosed with something, you know, that the doctors might say is incurable, or just life, it being life, what it is. I mean, people are in bad marriages, on bad jobs. I mean, you know, just anything that could be a quote, trigger, end quote, to someone being diagnosed with depression. But there are a lot of times when people use that term very, very loosely. There are many of us who may feel as though we're having a rough day and might use the term depression, and it might not be clinically factual. So what is depression, so that we can give it a definition, for lack of a better term, and, you know, a starting point, so when we use the term, we're not just talking about, oh, you're having a rough day today, but talking about a diagnosis here.
Right. Well, depression is really kind of more of a long-term, you know, feeling that of despondency, like dejection, just feeling that you aren't really part of society, so to speak, lots of self-doubt, and it's usually over a longer period of time. So mm-hmm. It's not going to be just a one-day thing that, you know, plenty of people have days where they feel depressed, especially when you're having a hormonal imbalance. It often happens, you know, during, for men and women, as our hormones change throughout the month, but obviously a lot of times women can have it more commonly during cycle times, where you can have that day or two of feeling, you know, suddenly depressed. That's different from a clinical depression, where it's going to be a much longer term feeling, something that you really can't shake. You know, you don't wake up the next day and you're normal. You're feeling
right.
Great and just fine, and it was just a bad day. That's kind of how you know that it's just a bad day, when it's really just a day or two. You know that that's not really long-term depression. And you just have a distorted view of sometimes how you're doing in life. You just feel like the worst, like you really don't want to go on, just very despondent, and you'd rather just stay in bed all day kind of thing.
So are there certain things that can actually trigger it? Because you could take somebody who has been clinically diagnosed as being depressed. It's been long term. They may have been depressed and feeling, you know, despondent, and, you know, all of that for years. All of the symptoms, you know, go along with this individual. But if you look at their childhood, they appeared happy. They appeared normal. They appeared, you know, like everything was fine. So are there any recessive genes or whatever that would pre-diagnose an individual an individual towards being affected in a certain way, or, you know, so that, you know, once they reach a certain age, like, okay, there are certain markers that, you know, okay, this person cannot handle stress, I mean, this is going to tip them over the edge, or this is going to make whatever's lying dormant in them blow up. So I guess my question is, can it be something that is genetically passed down to a person? Like, for example, can there be, like, for example, you hear people say, oh, my family has a history of diabetes. Can there be a history of depression?
Yes, there can be, just like anything other illnesses, you can have some predisposition to it that can run in families. So it is possible. It doesn't mean that you have to suffer with it. It means that sometimes you might have a higher likelihood of that occurring, but with any other illness, you know, be it cancer, diabetes, whatever, we might have markers or predisposition for it, but it doesn't mean we have to get it if we can do things that would help us avoid it. And so it's not a definite proposition just because it runs in the family. It means that's something you might be aware of and then do things that can help you avoid that altogether.
So the statement that you make often that if you can get it, you can unget it, that applies to depression as well, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does. And with, you know, and the hard part about depression is sometimes believing that, you know, because you just feel so, you know, unhappy, that's hard to believe that, especially if you've been dealing with it for a long time, that it can go away. But it can be treated, and it can be overcome.
So when we talk about depression, oftentimes, you know, when somebody has been diagnosed with depression, they might even be put on some sort of medication, or, you know, they might have to go see a psychologist or something. So the Western approach to dealing with depression, as with any other condition, you know, with the side effects that are related to, you know, allopathic medicine, just the approaches. I mean, sitting down, let's say, for example, if somebody has been diagnosed with depression, they have to be depressed. If you were to ask the person, I'm sure they would tell you that they are actually depressed by something, that there's something external that is causing their mood to be down. For example, it could be a death in the family, it could be a bad marriage, it could be, you know, a number of things external to them that they would use as a reason for being depressed. But if you go to, say, a psychologist or something, and they try to, you know, get inside the mind, now that's internal. So that's something internal going on that is saying that they're saying, okay, well, let's look deeper. Let's look beyond the external, quote, triggers, end quote, and look at what's going on with your mind. So when you talk about holistic treatments for, say, depression, what role would food have in helping to eliminate or eradicate or rectify any depressed state? Because, again, we're dealing with the mind, and we do know that there are certain foods that can either make you sluggish or can affect your brain. So what role would food play in this whole discussion as it relates to rectifying or overcoming depression naturally?
Food plays a big part of it. I mean, there are a lot of things that affect stress. Stress is one of the things that affects depression, but there are a lot of things that affect depression, and food is definitely one of those. Lack of a certain nutrients plays a huge role sometimes, you know. So we'll start with food, though, and then get more into the actual vitamins and minerals that really do affect it. You know, poor diet is definitely a factor in causing or triggering depression. So eating highly processed foods is definitely one of the things that causes depression. So a lot of times people turn to food to help with the depression, but it has that opposite effect. It might, you know, momentarily make you feel good, but over the long term, shortly thereafter, it makes you feel much worse. So that's one thing. So eating a very healthy, whole foods kind of a diet, it really helps depression. And I won't say that alone will cure depression, but it will definitely help you overcome it a lot faster and much easier than if you continue like a really high saturated fat, fast food type of just poor pro-nutrient intake, you know, not having enough greens, not having enough fruits and antioxidants. All those things are really going to help the depression continue. So you really want to, you know, switch to a very healthy diet because it's going to give you that edge and lessen the depression, if not help alleviate it altogether. So that's just one piece of the puzzle. And then there are a lot of nutrients that tend to get depleted that can cause or trigger depression. So some of those vitamins are the B vitamins. So especially if you've been under high stress for a long time, that can trigger depression because one of the reasons is because chronic stress depletes the B vitamins, and that will trigger a depression. So it's really important to supplement with B vitamins. Particularly niacin has been shown to be very helpful for depression. You know, I've read lots of information about this, about how niacin alone has helped people out of severe depressions just by, you know, taking large doses to kind of refill the depletion, and they're able to overcome the depression quite quickly. So a B vitamin complex, including niacin or niacin on its own, is really important. Vitamin D is really important because it's a hormone that helps everything else metabolize and be used properly. So without vitamin D, a lot of other things don't work well. So those are some really top of the list nutrients that you want to be sure you're getting, in addition to your omega-3 fatty acids. Those are brain food, the omega-3s, so thinking about walnuts and chia seeds and flax seeds, selenium and Brazil nuts, all of those things definitely significantly affect brain health. And not having enough omega-3 fatty acids, not having enough selenium, that will also be a significant contributor to depression. So, I know, I would start with nutrition because it's easy for people to grasp. I mean, that might be one. I mean, I also agree with, counseling as well. But we want to take it from a lot of different approaches, and nutrition is definitely one you don't want to leave out. It's probably one you want to start with.
Now, what about meditation? Because, and I wanted to make sure that I asked you this because I would love to hear your position on this, that Dr. Raul Nefer-Amen has written a book called Stress Free for Life. And in the book and in other books, he takes the position that it is our identification with our human nature that is the source of a lot of the ills, if not all of the ills that plague us. For example, let's say you take somebody that feels like it's normal to be upset by certain things that happen during the course of the day. Or let's say, for example, a loved one dies and they feel that as a human being, hey, it's normal, it's natural for me to grieve. It's normal for me to, you know, hey, you know, I just got fired. You know, it's normal for me to be upset. Mm-hmm. You know, I just came home and, you know, found out my husband was cheating on me. It's natural for me to be enraged. But as a result of these emotions, there may be certain toxic chemicals or hormones that are released into the bloodstream, cortisol being one of them. And his position is anything that's harmful to you cannot be natural to you. As a being, that if it's harmful to you, that cannot be natural to you. But I want to bring that theme into the discussion because, for example, you might take somebody that says, well, yes, I'm depressed. You don't know what just happened to me. Yes, come on, I'm only human. What do you expect? But his position is that no, we're not just humans. Humans is an evolutionary stage in our development, but that we are actually divine. And if we take the position of I am divine, and that these harmful, toxic reactions, these stress reactions are not normal or natural to me, then I can do something about that, whether it's through meditation, by changing my identity. You know, when I say change your identity, basically what I am identifying myself as being. And so the role of meditation could play a very, very vital part in one actually shifting that thought process of saying, okay, well, it's natural for me to be upset because I'm only human, to, well, let me now do a shift. Maybe I need to do some meditation to help change that thought process. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. First, I would say meditation, mindfulness, meditation, all of that is extremely beneficial for depression. There have been a lot of studies that show that people who did meditation as compared with people who just took medication were able to, up to like 75% of those doing meditation were able to get off of the antidepressants they were taking. So that, that the meditation was more effective in many cases than taking an over-the-counter anti or prescribed antidepressants. So just from the research alone, we know that meditation works. It's very beneficial for a number of things. It helps you get centered. Part of depression is seeing things in a skewed way. Like, my life is terrible. I'm never going to achieve anything. I just feel so bad. Why is so many bad things happening to me? Those type of things are exaggerated emotions. And mm-hmm. so when that is brought on by, you know, chemical reactions going on in our bodies, but through meditation, it kind of brings you back to center, brings you back to actual reality, which helps alleviate some of these exaggerated feelings and emotions that you have when you're depressed. You know, he has an interesting philosophy. I'd have to study more about that. I mean, it does make sense. And, it, you know, it would be hard to say for someone who, you know, just lost their job or something that you shouldn't be depressed, but you don't have to be. A loss of a job or a spouse doesn't have to make you depressed if you, you know, look at things, learn to look at things in a different way and reframe that picture. It's one of the things that I learned through meditation is reframing what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, stop thinking everything is happening to you as if you're not a part of it. You know, so everything that's happening, we have some control over, whether we believe it or not. So even though someone fired you, you still have a role to play in all of that, you know, and you have a role to play in what happens next. You can reframe that thought process from feeling stressed and negative to seeing it as an opportunity to do something different and changing your mindset about it so that it'll help you quickly find another job. So there are ways to, through meditation, to reframe what appears to be a problem and look at it in a different way. And I do that all the time, was just, you know, learning how to reframe things. When I'm feeling very upset or angry about something, I said, okay, let me reframe this and look at the positives of it, what I have control over, what I can do, because I have control over my emotions, so I can change that. I can be grateful for whatever the situation is, and then I don't have to be stressed and depressed. So in that sense, you know, I do agree that we have to look at ourselves as always having some level of control over everything that occurs in our life, because in some way we have precipitated making that happen. So, and then when you realize that if you precipitated making something negative happen, then you can also make something positive happen. And that helps you, you know, change that picture. And so I'm not saying for people who have clinical depression, just go and reframe the picture and you'll be okay. I'm saying this is one step in recovering from depression.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. I hope you're enjoying this interview as much as I am. This is, you know, getting a education here. We're talking about depression and ways that you can eliminate it, alleviate it, and not, you know, have to suffer from it. You know, another thing that he talked about, you know, just staying here for a moment, is that, for example, we look at things and call them triggers. Like some people might say, oh, this triggered somebody's depression. This, you know, the death of her loved one or his loved one triggered or brought on the depression. But his position is that if it's a trigger for one, if, for example, loss of a loved one is a trigger, then it would have to be that for everybody. But do you, we know that there are some people that, you know, once a loved one dies, they might be so down, they might die a week later, but then you might know somebody else that they just, you know, they kind of like, okay, well, so-and-so's gone, you know, and they keep on, they keep it moving, you know. Or let's say, for example, somebody, he gives the example of two people that get accosted, okay? One, you know, they both get beat down, you know what I mean, and get their money taken. One wishes hell and damnation on the person that did it, you know, and, you know, fire and brimstone, you know, and he keeps walking around repeating verbally what happened. And every time he repeats it, you know, those same emotions come back, and so then he's angry again. So those same toxic chemicals are released into the bloodstream again. That's person A. Person B is just thankful that he didn't die. You know, he's like, well, I can always get some more money, you know, and, you know, he's just thankful. And as a result of that, he maintains a, you know, a balanced, healthy, you know, frame of mind, a thankful frame of mind. Who's the better off? Of course, the person who, you know, the person
you're 100% right. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I have to stop myself often from repeating bad scenarios, because I was like, why would I want to bring this up again? You want to get over it, because that repeating it reinforces the way that you feel. So when you're telling the story, you're not feeling happy, you're not feeling joyful, you're not feeling good, you're feeling angry, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling a lot of negative emotions. And then when you repeat the story, it reinforces those emotions every time you say it. So you have to stop yourself physically from doing that. You know, if you need to tell someone it happened, you just gloss over it. Yep, it happened. I'm not going to go into the gory details of how it went down, why, and all of that. You know, I'm just going to, you know, recover and move on and, you know, get new credit cards and everything that you have to do and move on about it. But you don't, you know, wallow in that story and, and kind of almost celebrate it. Because it does breed more negative. Because basically you're putting out energy in the universe that says, I like this feeling. That's why I'm repeating it over and over and over. So the universe, you're gonna, that energy is going to attract more of that. So that's why you have these people who are in cycles of just, whoa, like, why does this always happen to so-and-so? You know, last week it was the car. This week, you know, she got a leaky roof. Next, you know, she's getting fired next week. Why is that happening to her? It's because she is, or he, is projecting that energy of those negative feelings. And so the energy waves that we give out, they're nondescript. They don't care whether it's good or bad. It's saying, this is what you're giving out, so this is what you're attracting, so this is what you get more of. So it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. You're just attracting it. So you have to stop yourself in your tracks when you're having these negative thoughts and repeating negative things and reframe that and say whatever you need to say in a positive way. You know what? I got robbed, but, you know, I'm alive, I'm happy, I walked away. That person must have really needed the money. I hope they put it to good use. And, you know, I'm going to go on about my business and get my stuff back in order, and I'm going to be okay. Thank God I'm alive. That is how you reframe a negative situation. And then that feeling of feeling good and relieved and happy is going to attract more of that to you.
You know, somebody said once, and I love the way they phrased it, that worrying is like praying for something that you don't want, you know,
exactly.
And just what you just shared and the way you put it as far as emitting energy into the universe and attracting that, then that's basically what you're doing. When you're worrying, you're actually praying for something that you don't want.
All right.
I mean, we just, is that correct?
It's like, it's basically negative visualization is what worry is. Because with visualization, most people are going to visualize something positive and happy. So when you think of visualization, you think of good things. So, like, you think of healing, or you think of, you know, how, where you want to be in the next year, how you want your business to grow, what kind of spouse you want. Those are all visualizations. But worry is absolutely like praying for the negative, because you're putting that energy into it, and so it's actually visualizing the worst scenario, which is why it often happens, because you are spending so much time worried about it. So it is the opposite of positive visualization, and so you actually, you know, create that self-fulfilling prophecy, because you say it, you say the things you're worried about, you reinforce it, you feel the negative energy in your body, you're tense, you're giving that out over and over and over, and so that attracts it, and it oftentimes, you know, without the balance of shaking that off, you know, it makes it happen. So a lot of people say they don't know how to visualize. It's like, if you know how to worry, you know how to visualize. So it's just the opposite of thinking about, instead of thinking about what's the worst that can happen, think about what you want to happen. So I've often had to, you know, practice this myself. So, you know, I find myself worried about, I have this presentation I need to do. I'm not quite ready. I got to do this, that, and the other. Okay, let me stop worrying about it and say, okay, how do I want tomorrow to go down? Instead of worrying about what I haven't done yet, let me start visualizing the talk that I'm going to give, the data that I'm going to be able to recall. Let me run through that, and let me look at the response that the audience is going to have, the smiles on the faces, the hand claps, the mm-hmm. you know, joy from the information that I just gave, instead of thinking about, oh my God, I'm gonna just crash and burn, you know.
Right.
So it's just
mm-hmm.
it really is the opposite.
You know, so it sounds to me like even when we talk about depression, that is something that we can, a lot of it is under our control, whether or not we, you know, get depressed, remain depressed. You know, and how long we stay in that funk is something that is within our control. Unfortunately, though, you might take somebody that has been diagnosed as being depressed or a manic depressed individual, and now they're getting medication for that, which could actually slow down their brain capability to be able to, you know, think in a particular way, because now you're dealing with drugs that are interfering with the, you know, electrical circuits mm-hmm. in the brain. So
right.
we can really do a lot to help ourselves by just meditating, even those who aren't suffering from depression. And even now, with the holidays coming upon us, a lot of people, back to what I mentioned earlier about that whole human identification, feel that it's only natural around the holidays, you know, so-and-so, he passed away right around Thanksgiving, and this is going to be...
Yeah, and that's what people do. I agree with you. I so many people celebrate death anniversaries in such a sad way, and, you know, and it's very unfortunate, because I've, you know, read of other people who used to have that problem. They said, you know, they lost their partner in, like, the tsunami, and every time it would come up, they would, you know, get very depressed and very sad, and then they decided to celebrate that instead of going through this, you know, basically what we're talking about, reframing it, celebrating mm-hmm. that person's life, as opposed to refeeling the feeling that you felt when they died that day. Why would mm-hmm. you want to replay that? And a lot of the death depression is centered around a fear that you're going to forget that person, or forget what they've done, forget what they've meant in your life, so you feel this onus to feel bad so that you don't feel guilty that you're moving on with your life. And so a lot of it is steeped in that, so people go through these depression things and big type of planned almost depression in order to alleviate the guilt that they feel for living and moving on. When you have to think about what that person would want if they were literally looking down, would they want you? Would they feel better that you're sad for a month or two because they're gone, or would they want you to commemorate their life in some type of a celebration and move on and be happy? And so it's like it's finding oftentimes with death a way to commemorate that person and celebrate them so that you don't forget them. You know, people say they feel bad because they start forgetting the person's face or something like that, or the way they smelled, and mm-hmm. they feel guilty. But you can find ways to commemorate this person in a very positive way and honor them, as many people do. You know, especially I know people whose parents or loved ones died from, you know, illnesses, and it's inspired them to do foundations or things to reach out to that to other people mm-hmm. and that type of thing. That's a method of positively commemorating a person, and you don't have to go through this super sad event every year kind of as your homage to that person. And we just need to reframe that picture and say, you know, they had, you know, X number of years of good life. They brought joy, you know, whatever it is that you can turn positive about it, you do that.
You know, and that is such a powerful, powerful way to approach it. To, you know, you mentioned, you know, start a foundation or something that would actually celebrate the individual's life, because they really wouldn't want you to kill yourself via, you know, again, through this sadness, and now you're hurting yourself chemically, you know, just with the toxins now that are being released into your bloodstream as a result of your
right.
being sad. Now you're actually killing yourself, and they wouldn't require that of you. You know what I mean? The person that
right.
you're grieving.
Right, and, you know, and to me it's separate from a grieving process, you know, and I can't really tell people how to grieve, and that's different. We're talking about, you know, years later when people are doing these things, and everyone says, oh, you know, you can't tell anyone how to grieve. That is true, you can't. But it shouldn't dominate the rest of your life.
Well, what about aging and depression? Do you find that when it comes to people getting older, I mean, I'm sure that as, you know, people get older, in many cases, there might be some other things mixed up in the, you know, with the mind as it's, you know, in some cases, as the mind goes, you have some people that are very, very sharp as they move into their old age, but then you have others that are affected with Alzheimer's and other, you know, things as their brain starts to, you know, slow down somewhat. Does it appear that depression is more prevalent as people get older because they realize that they're getting closer to maybe, you know, death, or being concerned about, well, what's going to happen to me now, you know, as I am not able
right.
to, you know, I'm not able to drive anymore. I'm not able to, you know, are my kids going to put me in the old folks home? You know, I mean, these type of issues that are real concerns, but, you know, do you feel that people get to be or suffer from depression a bit more as they age?
Not as just a common symptom of aging. You don't just start getting depressed because you're aging. So that's not like a common symptom. But life events and significant life changes can precipitate depression. You know, if you can't get out anymore, if your health starts to decline and you're, you know, drastically different than what you used to be, you can't get to the bathroom, and those kind of things. So definitely health, declining health can make some people depressed, a lot of people. I mean, which is why it's so important to do these things that we're talking about, to stay active, stay stretching, stay doing your yoga, stay doing all these things as you age so that you age gracefully and are still able to do most of the normal things you're able to do. So moving into an old folks home definitely will make you depressed, because oftentimes because you're separated from your family, you might feel forgotten, you know, those type of things. The food probably isn't as healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are reasons that could, your nutritional intake could go down. You might not be getting fresh air and getting outside. All the things that help alleviate depression sometimes are taken away when you have a significant change because of your age, and, you know, change in the way you live. But a lot of that, you know, can be avoided by taking a preemptive approach and losing weight, staying healthy, because weight is a one of the triggers or stressors for depression. So you want to keep your weight down to a normal size. You want to exercise regularly. It's very you generate lots of endorphins when you exercise. So those endorphins are the happy hormones. So it's difficult to be like a really regular exerciser, especially if you go outside and run and jog and really pump endorphins. It's a lot harder to be depressed when you do that. So there are ways to combat that. Even so, and even if, you know, a person is in a, you know, home or something like that, there are still things they can do to help alleviate that as well. You know, again, it's a lot of times it's reframing, but, you know, we'd like to prevent as much as possible. And then, you know, trying to reach out, you know, via phone, calling people that make you feel good, you know, calling your family members or church members or things like that to stay connected really does help.
How about even just surrounding? You mentioned, you know, calling your church members or whatever, just even talking about surrounding yourself with people that uplift you, that have a positive message themselves, you know, a positive attitude, you know, because sometimes there are people you could be feeling good and having an excellent day and then run into the wrong person, you know, and just after a few minutes of conversation, you know, because we know everything is energy, you can just feel that your energy level may have just gone down a few notches just because of their negativity. So how important is it to just even surround yourself with positive people if you're going to avoid, you know, being depressed?
It's highly important, because that energy does rub off. It really, really does. We pass energy back and forth between each other when we're interacting, and the best way to get rid of a negative person is to rebuff every negative thing they say with something positive, and eventually they stop talking or they walk away. You know, when they get the picture, because it's like that, those energies start to clash. So absolutely, that's important, because they build you up. They kind of, you know, where you're weak, they're building you up and strengthening you just through their positive attitude and thinking, and it's definitely contagious. So important to remove negative people, negative thinking, negative TV shows, negative music, and replace those things with all positive things. It's just one piece of the puzzle. It's like you want to stack everything in the deck to your favor, because I don't want to oversimplify clinical depression. It's very severe to the point of suicide for people, so we don't want to simplify it and say just be positive and you'll be fine. But I'm just saying you can stack the deck in your favor to help alleviate by doing a combination of these things.
You know, Dr. Lathan, I know this conversation could go on and on and on. I mean, because just some of the points that we've touched upon are shows within themselves, you know. So I want to just, you know, just thank you so much for just your positive energy, even as we talked about in this interview itself, just giving people positive solutions to, you know, approaching depression, because like you mentioned, clinical depression is something, and it's really, really heavy, and I appreciate you even taking the position. Just we're not trying to simplify it, or, you know, just say, hey, you know, just, you know, have a just replace a negative thought with a positive thought, you know, and you'll be good. But there are some ways in which you can actually, like you mentioned, stack the deck in your favor, and I think you've given some very positive points that if people just do this, go back and listen to the interview and just follow some of the points that Dr. Lathan has mentioned. Exercise, you know, surround yourself with positive people, meditate, you know, have positive self-thought, you know, just follow a particular nutritional regimen, and there are certain foods and minerals and vitamins for the brain.
Absolutely, and I do want to bring up chronic fatigue and adrenal fatigue often are triggers and the reason people fall into depression, because of chronic stress where you basically wear out your adrenal glands and you're not producing all of the correct hormones, which makes you depressed. So, you know, there are ways to deal with that too. So I would get with a good naturopathic doctor or me who have severe depression or even moderate. I would get with a good naturopathic doctor, look into the symptoms, you know, of chronic fatigue and adrenal fatigue, you know, where you're, and then especially if you're not getting adequate sleep, or especially if you've had a job that is very stressful day in, day out, you've been doing it for years, because a lot of times, you know, depression can set in later, or it's been building, you know, since, you know, youth, and then gets more severe as things go along. It's very important to deal with the physical issues that could be causing it, you know, having improper digestion, irritable bowel syndromes, things like that are going to cause you not to absorb the nutrients you need, which can cause depression. And then we also have to deal with traumas. A lot of times depression is linked to traumas that we have not dealt with, and we have stuffed them away and just said, I'm okay, didn't talk about it, didn't get therapy, didn't process it, didn't exercise it out of our system. And so those traumas can cause depression as well, and the way we feel about ourselves, especially sexual traumas, often makes us feel devalued, less than, which then makes you feel like, you know, all these things are happening to me. I'm not really a part of society type feelings, because we have had either early or late trauma that is still there and hasn't been healed. So it's really important to do the counseling sometimes to get to the root of that, in combination with the physical exercise, work, meditation, in combination with the nutrition. I mean, you can heal depression, is the message I want to leave. It is very possible. We just have to be willing to do what it takes to deal with it. So if you know you've dealt with a trauma in your life that you didn't have adequate counseling, or you didn't deal with it fully, you know that can be a problem. You need to deal with that with someone who can help you in a healthy way get it out, and then look at all the other techniques that we're talking about that can definitely, you know, making sure it's not just the nutritional deficiency, because sometimes it's just that. So there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, so you want to look at them all.
And one piece is you gotta have good friends. I mean, because if you're depressed, I mean, your energy is going to be kind of, if you're depressed, it's not going to be high, you know, it's going to be kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, there are some people that are going to be ran off, you know what I mean, by that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have people that are that understand that, hey, you're going through something and that they're going to
mm-hmm.
stay there with you through the long haul, you
mm-hmm.
know, through the good days, through the bad days, you know, that they're there for you. That if you need somebody to pick up the phone and talk to, you can, to talk some things out. And it's going to be very important to do that, to talk some things out and to be able to be open enough to receive that on a day when you're feeling low and your energy is low, then let the sun shine in. If somebody comes to you and they're talking positive, you know, bask in that. Don't shut the window, you know what I'm saying? Don't shut them out, you know, because they're trying to lift you up out of the doldrums. So, you know, when that sunlight does come, open the window and let it in and bask in it, as opposed to shutting it out and keeping yourself shut in, because, you know, friends are very, very important if you're going to be, if you're depressed and you're trying to come out, just having some people there that understand you and love you and care for you is very important. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much. I want to give your information for people, because I know that after hearing this interview that there are people that need you know, to know where to begin in terms of, you know, where do I go with this? I'm depressed, I've been diagnosed, and I don't know what to do. And also, like, to, if you're speaking anywhere, if you've got any engagements coming up that you would like the listening audience to know about, please feel free to do that as well.
Sure. I can be reached at ruby@rubylathan.com, the email, R-U-B-Y at R-U-B-Y-L-A-T-H-O-N com or at 202-709-7829. And I usually post my events on my website on the events page, so you can just check rubylathan.com for that. We'll be speaking at, there's a Brassica Festival, which is really celebrating green vegetables in that family, and just all about health and wellness, and that's on the 21st in Baltimore. So that information will be posted. But, yep, connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, and all those, and you'll be able to stay up to date with that.
You also host a show called The Veggie Chest, where you actually teach people and show people visually how to prepare certain foods. You know, when we're talking about nutrition, we talked about that, we touched upon it. There are going to be some changes that need to be made so that if you are depressed, that you can make sure that your brain is getting the nutrients that it needs so that it can, you know, affect, or shall I say, operate effectively. And you might need to know how to make the transition from certain eating patterns to a new way, a better way of eating. And so the Veggie Chest was formed with that in mind. So could you tell them a bit about the Veggie Chest before you go?
Sure. It is a whole foods cooking show, meaning we're using foods that are very natural. And a lot of them are raw dishes, and showing you how to make them taste really good and have the nutrients that you need so that you feel energized when you eat, as opposed to maybe lethargic. So we really put that out there so folks can really easily access it on YouTube. You can just put in the Veggie Chest, you'll find it, or you can go to my website, rubylathan.com, and you'll see it there on the videos page. And it's on a lot of other outlets like foodchannel.com. You can check it out there too. But either way, however you connect, you'll see lots of great demonstrations and recipes that I try to keep it simple but very tasty at the same time. And so far I've gotten nothing but positive reviews for the recipes that I create for people. So and so I feel good about them because I know they're really healthy and they really taste good, and those things are not mutually exclusive, and I'm out to prove that they're not. So,
Well, you know, I encourage everybody to go check out the Veggie Chest because there are going to be some new ways of, you know, looking at food, and you can experiment. If you're a woman and you love to cook and you love to get in the kitchen and experiment, this is an opportunity to learn a new way, a better way, a more healthy way to eat and to prepare your food for yourself and your family that can go a long way in keeping and making sure that you and your family are well, optimally. I got a couple of announcements I'd like to make before we go, and that is a couple of my regular guests, Brother Coy Dunstan and Dr. Ted Watkins, are going to be at a Health and Wellness Symposium, the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center Health and Wellness Symposium on Saturday, December the 5th, and that's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m., and that's at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center, and that's at 9300 Livingston Road in Fort Washington, Maryland, and the zip there is 20744 in case you need to MapQuest it. And if you'd like more information, please call 301-248-2141. Again, that's 301-248-2141. Again, that's Brother Coy Dunstan. He cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon after the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live. So you definitely want to make sure you hear his powerful, powerful testimony, as well as Dr. Ted Watkins, who's a regular on Juwanza for Life now, called Health, Wealth, and Divine. He's a regular as well, and I thank Dr. Ruby for making that connection for me. And so definitely that's going to be December the 5th. That's Saturday, December the 5th. And, again, that's going to be from 1 to 4 at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center in Fort Washington. Also, tomorrow, if you're familiar with Queen of Four, then you definitely want to tune in because tomorrow my special guest from 7 to 8 p.m. is Queen Afua, and we're going to be talking about relationships, how to cultivate sacred relationships. The show's called Fire and Desire, so you don't want to miss that. Again, that's tomorrow, Friday, the 13th from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tell somebody about that, because everybody's either in a relationship, want to be in a relationship, or coming out of a relationship. And so relationships play a large, large role in all of our lives and can make the difference in you being depressed or not. So you want to definitely cultivate healthy, sacred relationships, so make sure you tune in for that. Dr. Lazen, I truly, truly thank you for all of, not just this show, but all of the shows that you've provided on this particular venue, because you always bring powerful, powerful, life-changing information, and I'm sure that my listeners are better for it, and I thank you so much. Again, everybody, make sure that you check her out at ruby@rubylathan.com, and make sure you check out the Veggie Chest, because this is information that can change your life. Any parting words, Dr. Lathan?
Just to know that you know, pretty much anything you can get, you can unget, including depression, and just to take those steps and to know that it can and will get better.
Everybody, words of wisdom. Words of wisdom, positive words of wisdom. Dr. Lathan, I thank you. I'll be in touch. Everybody, that was Dr. Ruby Lathan. And again, she's done many shows with us, and they're archived. So if you want to hear more, if you're hearing her for the first time and you'd like to hear more, just go scroll down through the archives and you will find other shows with Dr. Lathan. We've done shows on overcoming diabetes. We've done shows on overcoming obesity, overcoming childhood obesity, overcoming lupus. I mean, you name it, overcoming thyroid cancer. I mean, you name it. So just go back, scroll down, and you will find her name, and definitely listen to the shows. Share this information. Guarantee there's somebody that you know. If it's not for you, it's for somebody that you know. Thank you, everybody, for your time. Don't forget, tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing Queen Afua. We're going to be talking about relationships from 7 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it. All right? My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Thank you so much for your time. Until the next time, peace and blessings.